بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، today the 40 hadith on the call to Islam and the caller, hadith number 3. Disagreement and divergence. This hadith basically talks about what is going to happen and the way to success, and the way to salvation is only one way. The way which will take you to the Jannah is only one way, and that's the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the way to the truth is only one way, not like what the Sufis says. The Sufis, they say the ways to the truth, the ways to the haqq, are as many as the breaths of human beings. Can you count the breaths of the human beings? So the ways to the truth, the ways that will take you to the haqq, they are unlimited, infinite, and they are always. All the Sufi groups, they say that. They say the truth is in the center of the circle. The truth is in the center of a circle, and you can see how many ways you can reach the center. If the truth is in the center of a circle, then you can reach the center via many ways. From any point on the circumference of the circle, you can reach the center. So you cannot limit the number of ways that will take you and lead you to the truth. Are you with me? So according to the Sufis, the ways to the truth, the ways to the haqq are so many ways. And this hadith tells us the opposite. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying the opposite. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, khatta lana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam خطا ثم قال هذا سبيل الله، ثم خط خطوطا عن يمينه وعن شماله، ثم قال هذه سبل متفرقة، على كل سبيل منها شيطان يدعو إليه.
The Prophet ﷺ said, Allah ibn Mas'ud said, Allah's Messenger ﷺ drew a line for us. Then he said, this is Allah's way. Then he drew lines to its right and to its left and said, these are different ways. Upon each of these ways is a devil calling to it. Then he recited, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِ مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلَهُ. And verily this is my straight path, so follow it, and do not follow other paths, for they will separate you away from his path. And the hadith reported by Abu Dawud al-Tayalisi, and also Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, and it is authentic hadith. So now, in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, he drew a line in the earth, in the floor, for the Sahaba, straight line and long line. Then he drew short lines on both sides of this straight line. And he said, this is the straight path. This is the straight line which will take you to the Jannah. This is the straight path of Allah. And these shortcuts, the branches, they will lead you astray. They will take you away from the straight path of Allah. And upon each shortcut, upon each line, short lines, is a shaitan, a devil, calling the people towards hellfire. So, these shortcuts and the different ways are the ways of the shaitan. The only way of the Rahman is the straight line. So if you want to reach your destination, and that's the Jannah, you have to remain in the straight path and the long one, and avoid all the shortcuts. Because any one of the shortcuts will take you away from the straight path. And upon each shortcut, upon each branch is a shaitan calling you towards deviation and towards misguidance. So you can see in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is telling us it's only one way. Whereas the Sufis are saying there are many ways. So whom should we believe? Definitely the Prophet ﷺ. Is this clear to you? So the way to get Allah's pleasure and Allah's mercy is only one way. And all the other ways, they take you away from His way. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, the Jews were divided into 71 sects. One sect will go to heaven, 70 to the hellfire. The Christians were divided into 72 sects. One to the Jannah, 71 to the hellfire. And my Ummah will be divided into 73 sects. One will be delivered, go to the Jannah, 72 to the hellfire. So you can imagine 72 sects of the Muslims will go to hell. 72 ways, these shortcuts, which take the people away from the straight path. So the line, the path which will take you to the Jannah is only the path which the Prophet ﷺ said. When he was asked about the group of the that will be delivered and will be saved, he said, those who are upon what I am upon today. And another narration he said, من كان على مثل ما أنا عليه وأصحابي. Those who are upon what I am upon today, those who follow my footsteps and your footsteps. So if you want to be from among those who will be saved, you have to follow the footsteps of the Prophet ﷺ and the footsteps of his companions. If you follow the footsteps of the deviant sects, Shia, Asha'ira, Maturidiyah, Mu'tazila, Khawari, etc., etc., then you blame no one but yourself. Because the way to salvation is only one way. And that's the way of the Prophet ﷺ and the way of his companions. Is this clear to everyone? So the Muslim has no choice except to follow the way of the Sahaba, the way of the Prophet ﷺ. This is a straight line which he drew. And all the shortcuts, if you follow them, you will land in the hellfire. And you will go away from Allah's path. So that's why we call all Muslims towards this straight path without compromising. You cannot compromise. There is no way for the Muslim Ummah to get rid of its humiliation and to get rid of its weakness except to follow this straight path, to follow the way of the Sahaba, to follow the way of the Salaf al-Saleh. Any other methodology will lead to failure and will increase the Muslim Ummah weakness upon weakness. Is this clear to everyone? Therefore, we need to dedicate all our efforts to call the Muslims to this straight path. To the straight path. The path that the Prophet ﷺ drew. No Sufisms, no Shiaisms, no Ash'arism. The Islam, the pure Islam, which was given to Prophet Muhammad ﷺ 1400 years ago and understood by his companions and passed over to us. And believe me, brothers and sisters, this the pure Islam that the Prophet ﷺ wanted us to follow. The enemies of Islam nowadays are trying by all their means to drive the Muslims away from it and try to substitute it with a deen or a religion which is contaminated, polluted. They don't want us to remain upon the pure deen. They want us to take another deen, Sufi deen, the deen of the mystics, the deen that says give Caesars what is what belongs to Caesars and give God what belongs to God. They don't know that Caesars and his kingdom belongs to God, the owner of the heavens and the earth. Hadith number 4. The splitting of the ummah. The splitting is happening and happened and is being happening. So it's happening and started from the time of the Prophet ﷺ. And this is something inevitable. No one can stop it. Why? Because it is ikhbar. Information. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said is going to pass. It's going to happen. From Anas ibn Malik رضي الله تعالى عنه, who said that Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, تفترق هذه الأمة على 73 فرقة كلهم في النار إلا واحدة. قالوا وما هي تلك الفرقة؟ قال ما أنا عليه اليوم وأصحابي. The Prophet ﷺ said, this ummah will split into 73 sects, all of them in the fire of hell, except one. They asked, and what's that sect? He said, that which I and my companions are upon today. And it is authentic hadith reported by Tabarani in Al-Jami' al-Saghir. المعجم الصغير sorry. Some innovators or some people of the bid'ahs they say no, the hadith talks about this 73 only the ummah of da'wah. Because you know, brothers and sisters, I want you to concentrate. The ummah of the Prophet ﷺ are two types. Ummah da'wah, those who responded, those who accepted the message, ummah da'wah, this is one. The second, ummah al-ijabah. Sorry, ummah da'wah, those who whom the da'wah is addressed to, not those who accepted it. Ummat al-da'wah, those whom the da'wah is addressed to, and we know the da'wah of Islam is for all mankind and the jinn. This is called ummat al-da'wah. So the Jews, the Christians, the Hindus, the Buddhists, all the human beings, they fall under this title, ummat al-da'wah. Then we have Ummat al-Ijaba, those who accepted the message. And we are from Ummat al-Ijaba. Is this clear to you? Ummat al-Da'wa and Ummat al-Ijaba? So some of the Sufis and the modernists and those who don't accept the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, they are saying the hadith talks about Ummat al-Da'wa. Ummat al-Da'wah, Jewish Christians, they are the ones who will be divided into 73 sects. And they forgot that the hadith mentioned both of them. The hadith mentioned Ummat al-Da'wah and Ummat al-Ijabah. Because Jews and the Christians are Ummat al-Da'wah. So the Jews 71, and the Christian 72. Those are Ummah al-Da'wah. So the total 143 sects already. And then he mentioned Ummah al-Ijaba 73. Are you following? So the hadith cannot be interpreted, that the 73 are Ummah al-Da'wah. So the Ummah al-Ijaba will be divided into 73 sects and 72 will go to hellfire. So the argument just fell apart, you can see. It's a very weak argument. But I have to mention it so that you should know how to reply them if you come across this. Is this clear to everyone? So here in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is telling us that there is only one group, one sect that will be delivered, and those who are following the way of the Prophet ﷺ and the way of his companions. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it very clear in Surah Al-Nisa, Surah 4, 115. This ayah should be memorized by every one of you. Surah 4, ayah 115. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبَعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نوله ما تولى ونصله جهنم وساءت مصيرا. I want you to reflect and ponder upon this ayah. ومن يشاقق الرسول, and whoever contradicts and contends and opposes the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم من بعد ما تبين له الهدى, after the right path has been shown clearly to him, the guidance has been conveyed to him, وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and follows other than the believer's way, نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى, we shall keep him in the path he has chosen, وَنُسْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا, and burn him in hell. What an evil destination. I want you to reflect on this ayah 115 of Surah An-Nisa, Surah number 4. وَمَنْ يُشَاطِقِ الرَّسُولَ, whoever contends with the Prophet, opposes the message of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَمَنْ يُشَاطِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى, after the Huda, the guidance, the deen, has been made clear to him, وَيَتَّبِ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and yet he preferred other way to the way of the mu'mineen. I am asking you, brothers and sisters who are listening to me right now, who are the mu'mineen in this context when this ayah was revealed? Whom this ayah is alluding and referring to? Give me feedback, all of you. The answer is very clear, the Sahaba. It's not saying follow a path, the way of the mu'minin. It's not referring to the Jews. It's not referring to the Christians, let alone the Jew, the Hindu and the Buddhist. So it's referring to the Sahaba. Are you following me or not? Therefore the meaning, وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and he follows the way other than the way of the Sahaba. What will happen to him? نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى.
We shall leave him in the way that he has chosen for himself. He has chosen a way different from the way of the Sahaba. That is his business, no problem. We shall leave him in that path which he has chosen. نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى.
وَنَصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمْ.
And we'll make him taste the chastisements of the hellfire. We shall keep him in the path that he has chosen. وَنَصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمْ. And burn him with the hellfire.
وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا.
What an evil abode, what an evil destination. So you have no choice, O Muslim, except to follow the way of the Sahaba.
Some of you might say, well, you know, all the Muslims that follow the path of the Sahaba.
I'm telling you, no. Because the way of the Sahaba is clear. Their aqidah, they believe everything is recorded and jotted down.
And all the groups, the deviant sects, they don't follow their way. They don't follow the way of the Salaf.
They don't follow the way. They follow the ways of the philosophers, the Greek philosophers. They don't respect the Sunnah. If the Hadith is not in line, is not in accordance to the whims and desires, they reject the Hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. There it is in the Sahihain and Bukhari and Muslim. And they say that, you know, this hadith is ahad, so we don't accept this. So they don't follow the methodology of the Sahaba. Because this is not the way of the Sahaba. The Sahaba, they didn't have this bid'ah, the differentiation between a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. It is something concocted and invented by the deviant sects later, by the Mu'tazila. The Prophet ﷺ, he sent Mus'ab ibn Umair, Mus'ab ibn Umair, one person to Medina. And the Ansar, they didn't say, oh, you are only one man. We'll not accept what you are saying. They accepted Islam through Mus'ab ibn Umair. And Mus'ab came after 1 year and gave the annual report to the Prophet ﷺ and said, there is no single household in Medina without a Muslim. He sent Mu'ad to Yemen, only one. Okay? Only one. And the people of Yemen, they didn't say, you are one, we don't accept your narration. They accepted Islam. And the Hadith in Bukhari says, O Mu'ad, the first thing you call the Yemenites to is the Tawheed. The Aqidah. So where is the issue of Ahad here? Nothing. There's no place for it. We read also that the Sahaba, they were praying Asr prayer facing Jerusalem. Facing the Jerusalem. And one of the Sahaba prayed Asr with the Prophet ﷺ facing Makkah. So when he passed by them and he found them in the Asr prayer facing Jerusalem, he talked to them while they are in the Salah. And he said, by Allah, I prayed Asr with the Prophet ﷺ. And all of them, the Imam and the congregation, they faced Makkah in the Salah. They didn't say, wait, let us finish this Salah and then verify. No, in the Salah, the Imam faced Makkah and the congregation also faced Makkah. So the way of the Sahaba is very clear.
and you will never find the deviant sects claiming that they are following their methodology. Because the methodology of the Sahaba, the methodology of the Salaf is clear. And their aqeedah is being recorded and conveyed to us via the reliable narrators with a strong, continuous, unbroken chain of narrators. So if a Muslim who wants to be delivered, who wants to be saved, should follow the way of the Salaf Salih, the Sahaba, and Salaf or Salafiyya or Da'wah Salafiyya is not a group, it's not a party like Ikhwan Muslimin or like Jama'ah Islamiyya or like Tabligh. No, they're not like that. All these groups, they have founders. If you ask the Ikhwan Muslimin, who is your founder? They will say Hassan al-Banna, rahimahullah. Ask Jama'ah Islamiyya, who is your founder? Abu al-Ala Mawdudi, rahimahullah. If you ask the Tabligh, who is your founder? Muhammad Ilyas, rahimahullah. So they are founders. Ask the Salafis, who is the founder of Da'wah Salafiyya? Hello? Answer me, brothers and sisters. It is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because Da'wah Salafiyya is the true Islam. That's it. It is the pure Islam that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam conveyed. It's not Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, it's not Ibn Taymiyyah, it's not Ibn Al-Qayyim. No. Because Salafiyya is the true Islam. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said. Those who are upon what I am upon today, that's the meaning of the Salaf and the Salafiyya. No choice in front of any Muslim except to follow the way of the Salaf. Is this clear to everyone? And the word Salafi is, what does it mean? Because some people are very, very sensitive. Very sensitive when they hear the word Salafi. Salafi, it means a Muslim who is following the way of the Salaf. What is wrong with it? Because some Muslims, they think when they hear the word Salafi, this is another movement or another group. Which is not true. Or some, they are very sensitive because there are some brothers who call themselves following the methodology of the Salaf, and they make some mistakes and they are harsh, so people, they become sensitive, they don't want to use the word Salafi. So there is nothing wrong with using the word Salafi. And if you don't want to use it, no problem. But you have to follow the methodology of the Salaf Abdul Muntaqim. Abdul Muntaqim. Are you ready to follow the methodology of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een? The methodology of the Salaf, the past predecessors? You have no choice except to say yes. So there is no choice. There is no choice in front of any Muslim except to follow the methodology of the Sahaba. That is what the Hadith is talking about. Whether you will call yourself Salafi or not, that is a second issue. doesn't matter whether you call yourself or you don't call yourself. And maybe sometimes for the da'wah, because some people they have misconception about the word Salafi. Then you can kind of avoid using it. But what matters, what is more important, is to follow the footsteps of the Sahaba. You follow the footsteps of the Prophet ﷺ and his companions. That is what is more important. Leave the label or the name aside. But you have to follow the way of the Sahaba radiallahu alayhim. If you want to go to the Jannah, if you want to go to hell, that's your choice. So this hadith is very clear on this topic, the splitting of the Ummah. The Ummah has been split long time ago. Long time ago. And this split will remain. And those who are trying and they say, well, we need to form unity among the Muslims. Good. Unity is a must among the Muslims. Is a must. Allah said, وَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا, and hold all of you, to the rope of Allah. The rope of Allah. The rope of Allah is the Quran and the Sunnah. And the Quran and Sunnah, how do you understand the Quran and Sunnah? According to your understanding or according to the understanding of the Prophet ﷺ and his companions? So the Quran and Sunnah should be understood according to the Quran, the understanding of the Prophet ﷺ and his companions. So there is no choice in front of any Muslims except that. Then and only then we can have unity. But to think that we are going to have a unity with all the different sects and all different groups and without agreeing upon the principles, the basics, the fundamentals, how can we form a unity with people who are saying that the Sahaba are kafirs? What type of unity, what sort of unity are going to have if the Sahaba are kafirs? If this Quran is not correct, there's no chance. There's nothing we have in common. But those who call themselves Sunnis, those who are calling themselves Sunnah, they have to agree upon the fundamentals and say, yes, we accept the creed and the doctrine of the Sahaba and those who followed them. Then and only then we'll have unity by default, automatically. For instance, all the groups in da'wah organizations, Ikhwan Muslimin, Jama'ah Islamiyah, Tabligh, etc., are they ready to accept the methodology of the Salaf and adopt it and act upon it and teach it and bring the generation upon the methodology and the creed of the Salaf? If they agree, alhamdulillah, that's what we are praying for. And then and only then we'll have the unity. May Allah make this happen soon. Amen. Hadith number 5. Before we start hadith number 5, the previous hadith, are they clear to you? Okay. Hadith number 5, what is the way? Yes, what is the way? From حذيفة بن اليمان رضي الله تعالى عنه who said كان الناس يسألون رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم عن الخير وكنت أسأله عن الشر مخافة أن يدركني فقلت يا رسول الله إنا كنا في جاهلية وشر فجاءنا الله بهذا الخير فهل بعد هذا الخير من شر؟ قال نعم قلت وهل بعد ذلك الشر من خير؟ قال نعم وفيه دخن قلت وما دخنه؟ قال قوم يهدون بغير هدي تعرف منهم وتنكر قلت بل بعد ذلك الخير من شر قال نعم دعات على أبوابي قلت هل بعد ذلك الخير من شر قال نعم دعات على أبواب جهنم من أجابهم إليها قذفوه فيها قلت يا رسول الله صفهم لنا قال هم من جلدتنا ويتكلمون بألسنتنا هم من جلدتنا ويتكلمون بألسنتنا قلت فما تأمرني إن أدركني ذلك قال تلزم جماعة المسلمين وإمامهم قلت فإن لم تكن لهم جماعة ولا إمام قال فاعتزل تلك الفرق كلها ولو أن تعض بأصل شجرة حتى يدركك الموت وأنت على ذلك الله أكبر Listen to this hadith brothers and sisters حذيفة رضي الله تعالى عنه said the people used to ask Allah's messenger صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم about the good and I used to ask about the evil out of fear that it would reach me so I asked O messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم we were living in ignorance and evil then Allah brought this good to us so will there be any evil after this good he replied Yes. I then asked, will there be any good after that evil? He replied, yes, but it will be tainted. So I asked, what will be its taint? He replied, a people who guide others to other than my way. You will approve of some of their deeds and disapprove of others. I further inquired, then is there any evil after that good? He said, yes, call us at the gates of hell. Whoever responds to their call, they will throw him into the fire. I then said, O Messenger of Allah, describe them to us. He said, they will be from our people and speak our language, in our tongue. I asked, So what do you order me to do if that reaches me? He said, stick to the united body, the jama'ah of the Muslims and the ruler, Imam, the Khalifa. I further asked, what if they have neither a united body nor a ruler? He replied, then keep away from all of those sects
even if you have to bite upon the roots of a tree, till death reaches you while you are in that state. Reported by Bukhari and Muslim. Hudaifah in this hadith, radiallahu anhu, Hudaifah indeed is a faqih, and most of the hadith about afflictions and trials and what will happen are narrated by Hudaifah. He was always asked about shar. And then he said, if I know the shar, then I know the khair. What is not shar is khair by default. So he asked the Prophet ﷺ, he said, oh Prophet of Allah, we were in Jahiliyyah, and then Allah sent you and brought to us this khair. Will there be any evil after this khair? He said, yes, there will be evil. Then he said, how about after that evil? Will there be any khair? He said, yes, there will be khair also after the evil. And we know that after the khair, the first evil that happened, the fight between the Sahaba, killing one another, and the killing of Uthman, that is evil, no doubt. Then he said, about that, after that evil, will there be any khair? He said, yes. But this khair will not be pure, to be tainted, mixed. So then he said, okay, tell me, what is that that's going to affect its purity? He said, people who guide others to other than my way. Now, believe me, brothers and sisters, today, nowadays, many of those Muslims, leaders, they don't guide the Muslims by the way of the Prophet ﷺ. They don't guide the Muslims by the way of the Prophet ﷺ. They guide the Muslims by the ways of the Kuffar. They forced man-made law upon the Ummah. This is what is happening. So the Prophet ﷺ said, a people who guide others to other than my way, you will approve of some of their deeds and disapprove of others. Some deeds you will accept, some deeds you will not accept. The deeds which you will approve of are the deeds that are in accordance to Kitab and Sunnah. But also you will see, on the other hand, deeds are not in accordance to Quran and Sunnah. Hudaifah then asked, okay, give me more, O Prophet of Allah, tell me more. Then, will there be any evil after that good, the good which is not pure? He said, yes. Call us at the gates of hell. Call us. People, they invite us. They are inviting you openly to Jahannam. We see them every day. You see them in the television. You see them in the ads. You see them in the streets. You see them everywhere. They are calling to Jahannam. Right or not? Don't you see the callers to Jahannam every day? In your house they called you to Jahannam. They come to your bedroom through that little screen. He said, yes, call us at the gates of hell. At the gates of hell, whoever responds to the call, they will throw him into the fire. Whoever listens to them, they will take him to Jahannam along with them. And brothers and sisters, now we are living, we are in the second phase of this strangeness
There are two phases. Phase one, at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, that's the first strangeness, غُرْبَ الْأُولَى. Islam started as a strange religion. And now we are living the second phase. We are strangers now. Strangers at home, strangers at office, in the streets. Everything is strange. Everything is against us. But Allah is our helper and supporter. You feel stranger at home, among your children. Your own children. Daddy, don't be stubborn. All the people like this. Don't live in another time. Face the reality. Cope with your circumstances. Your own children. At your own home. So this is the second phase of strangeness. But after the second strangeness will be the spread of Islam again. Islam began as a strange religion, then it spread. And this is again will spread also. And will reach every corner. As the Prophet ﷺ said. And we are going to have Rome. We are going to have Rome, as Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, because that's what Allah told him, and what Allah said is going to pass. Allah will never break His promise. So Islam will spread. Islam will reach every corner. There will never be any single household that Islam didn't reach. So be optimistic. And this second phase of strangeness will never last. Soon, it is a summer cloud, soon will vanish. Bismillah. Just help one another, support one another, and abide to the Book of Allah and to the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So Hudaybah then, he said, can you describe those callers to us? The callers through Jahannam? The Prophet ﷺ said, yes. They are Muslims, they are from among our people. Those who are calling us to Jahannam, their names are Muslim names. His name is Abdullah, Abdul Rahman. These are the names. And they call you to Jahannam. Also her name is Fatima and Zainab and different Muslim names. They are the ones who are calling to you to the hellfire. Muslim names. Only by names they are Muslims. So they are not non-Muslims, originally kuffar, no. They are from your own people. And they speak in your own mother tongue. They speak in English, they speak in Arabic, they speak in Urdu, they speak in Bishtu, they speak in Malayalam. In your own mother tongue. Tamil, in your own mother tongue. And they call you to the hellfire. It will be from our people and speak our tongue, our language.
Then Hudhayfa, he said, O Prophet of Allah, what do you order me to do if that reaches me? Hudhayfa got scared to death. Said, O Prophet of Allah, this is going to happen. What advice do you give it to me? Please advise me in case this happens during my lifetime. What should I do? Then he told him, listen, Hudhayfa, my advice for you is to stick to the united body, to the jama'ah, to the majority of the Muslims, and to their khalifa, the ruler, the imam. Muslims, they don't have body, they don't have imam. And Hudhayfa, subhanallah, asked the question, as if Hudhayfa is living with us today, living our time. Then Hudhayfa said, I further asked, what if they have neither a united body nor a ruler, like our time now? There is no khilafa and there is no khalifa. Subhanallah. رضي الله عن حذيفة. May Allah reward him abundantly by asking that question. What if they have neither a united body nor a ruler? He replied, صلى الله عليه وسلم, then keep away from all of those sects. Hello, brothers. What should you do to the Khalifa in London? Should you go to him and give the bay'ah? Listen to what the Prophet ﷺ is saying. Don't be naive. Don't be naive. Everyone comes, imagine, Khalifa in London. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. And many brothers and sisters, they already gave bay'ah to him. So here the Prophet ﷺ is saying, in the absence of the Khalifa, and there is no united body of the Ummah, then you keep away from all these sects. Keep away from them. Anyone tells you, come, tell him, sorry. There is a Khalifa here. Tell him, this Khalifa should go and start Islamic State, and when we see the flag of Islam and the flag of the Khilafa fluttering on the land of his country, then the Muslims will go and give him bay'ah. But the Khalifa living in the Dole in London, begging the Kuffar, what Khalifa is this? Khalifa seeking asylum, what Khalifa? What sort of Khalifa is this? Who cannot even protect himself? So don't be deceived, brothers and sisters, and don't be naive. The problem with many of the youth, they are very naive, and they are easily brainwashed, and anyone who tells them something, they believe him and they follow him. Because they don't know Islam and they don't know the basics of their deen. So
So always remember the hadith of Hudhayfa. Anyone tells you something, tell him, what can we do about hadith of Hudhayfa? What can we do with hadith of Hudhayfa? Keep away from all of those sects. Keep away. Even if you have to bite upon the roots of a tree until death reaches you while you are in that state. Bite. Bite to the roots of the tree until you die, and never join such groups. Because it's only one way. The way of the Prophet ﷺ. And by the way, the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Khulafa min Quraysh. The caliphs will be always from Quraysh. And this guy who claims the Khilafa, and he's a Khalifa, he's a Palestinian, and he's Rifa'i. He calls himself Rifa'i, and Rifa'a is a different. Rifa'a is a known tribe, has nothing to do with Quraysh. And the Prophet ﷺ made it clear, Al-Khulafa'u min Quraysh. May Allah Azza wa Jal increase our knowledge in His deen, and may Allah save us from going astray, and may Allah unite our hearts upon the truth. May Allah reward all of you, brothers and sisters, for your patience and attendance. Barakallahu feekum. جزاكم الله خيرا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته